Right, if I recall, we're going to be starting off with yourself, DTI, am I right? That's Dr. Masoccia, and we are dealing with the Copyright Amendment Bill. It says our deliberations on that. I'm just looking at the formal program here. Deliberations on the Copyright Amendment Bill. Members, just so that I can refresh your memories, we are leaving late this evening. Transport has been organized for everyone who has not got transport. Am I right? I don't know where Ivana is.
Yes.
Yes, that's right. So we don't have to worry about that. Can we make a start then? Have we all got the documents we're working from? Can you show us what you're going to be working from, Dr. Masoccia? And perhaps before we start, I should have just welcomed some of the new members who've come here. We've got the copy, where's this? I don't see all of them noted here. As usual, CIPC is here. Companies and Intellectual Property Commission, we haven't welcomed you yet. Advocate Rory Foller, Commissioner CIPC. Then I don't know if we have Mr. Pecci is not here today, as you know.
He's currently traveling to Vienna about probably 8 o'clock, half past 7, somewhere there.
There we are. And then we have, as I said, we did have the DDG earlier. She's again here as a DDG for the Copyright Amendment Bill. But now we have a new team, don't we? We have Ms. Pima Basa-Mavunga, Rungo, Director CCRD, there we are. Ms. Mabili Misa, Director CCRD, not here, just make a note. And maybe you would check this before it comes to me. And then Ms. Pagliacci, I do see you there, DDCCRD. Mr. Makonza, over there, right. Administrator, is there any reason why you're so far from your colleagues? Because I can barely see you. And then Advocate Johan Stratum, I think I indicated earlier, he has rejoined the team here, and we've had a long track record of experience with him, and we work together very well. So I said, we really welcomed him back again to strengthen the team. Of course, we've got Advocate Huang, Senior State Law Advisor from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. You may ask why he's here in copyright and he wasn't here in the credit amendment bill, because that's a committee bill. See the slight differences we have here. But here, this is an executive bill. And we're very happy you're here. And how are you, Ms. Nighy? Because I know you're not well. Are you all right? Fine. Is that everyone accounted for? Apart from visitors. Fine. Can we then turn over to Dr. Masoccia?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Okay. We have two documents that we will be speaking to today. The first one is have a heading called Proposed Wording Copyright. It's got clauses. It starts with clause one with the definition. That's one of the documents. And the other document, are you finding it? Okay. The other one is practical challenges and concerns in respect of retrospective application of Section 6A, 7A, and 8A. It's a Word document. It's a table with challenges.
Everyone got it. I see some frowning. Honorable Williams, you're frowning there. Well, I can't see it that far.
Practical challenges. Last week we presented the submissions from the public, and we presented at the department, and then the advocate also made her own presentation. And what we did was also to propose some of the revisions on the wording of some clauses where we thought there were some problematic areas. And following that process, we then had a technical meeting as a technical team to try to integrate our views on the clauses and the bill itself. I must say, just to indicate that as we work through this process, the committee will notice that there will be certain things that from time to time we'll have a position and then re-look at certain things, because what we have found is that this process is very complex, Chair. It has many challenges in a sense that we had the original bill and we received several views and comments, and some of them are diverse. And then to try to coordinate and consolidate everything and come up with something that is workable won't be a very smooth process. So we are also requesting that the committee also bear with us where we work as we go along, because it's like a working progress process. So it comes with some teething issues that is not perfect, especially when you are trying to balance the different views and to ensure that everybody is accommodated. So I will do a brief recap just to highlight where we started last week, so that when I come to the practical challenges, you will know where they are flowing from. We had received more than 50 submissions from the public on the advertised clauses. And what we did with the presentation, we summarized the key areas and we highlighted most of the broader issues that were raised by the public. For instance, I won't go to all of them, just to highlight, we looked at the definition of visual artistic work. And the reason why we looked at this definition was because we wanted to provide for the resale royalty rights work in the bill, which is a new work that we want to introduce in the bill to ensure that we create more opportunities for our artists who have not had a market created for them in a legislative format. And we also looked at the minimum content of the agreement for clauses 5, clauses 7, and clauses 9. And here we're advertising the minimum contract. And then we looked at the issues around the retrospectivity, the application of retrospectivity for those royalty, for those clauses and the percentages of royalties. And another area we looked at was around the reciprocal application of the resale royalty rights. So I'm just highlighting the broader areas. And then we looked at the log sheet in clause 11, and also looking at the penalties when it comes to failure to record acts or acts that constitute offences and the penalties. So I'll stop there in terms of the broader areas and go back to the issues that came up on the minimum contract content and the retrospectivity, because that's where the issues are going to come from. So when we looked at the minimum content of the agreement, we found that as much as we're looking at the agreement,
you see, because there's so much walking around, I'm told that other members are putting up hands, but I can't see the hands. because you've got three people in front of you. Honorable Tierko.
Thanks, Chef. This thing of, I'm not here last week, so she keeps on talking and I can't see the document, so we're requesting a document. It was both myself and Honorable Mbuyane were not here, so. And I'll also request that if you can reflect on exactly what transpired, if it's possible. But I'll catch up with you.
Unfortunately, that will be a problem, but all of us, we must remember, we must ask our secretaries or administrators to collect our documents. But also, I'm asking the team here, can you ensure, Mr. Medima, that the Honourable Tierko has got those documents, please? Let's just hold on for a minute. Yeah, but the point is that, members, if you are not here, members, I must make it clear, if you are not here, your administrators are obliged to collect your copies. So let us not go on and on. And I don't want to delay this any longer. Right, can you proceed?
So when we looked at the minimum content of the agreement, as much as our focus was supposed to be on what we proposed as a minimum requirement, we found comments from the public that questioned the way that we interpreted their industries. For example, the literary world, the authors would say that that's not how our industry works. That's not how we look at our income streams. We don't talk about royalties. We don't talk about assignments. So they were saying that we cannot work within the framework that has been presented in the bill. So for that reason, we then looked at those issues that were raised. So they were raised in the clause 5A that looks at the literary works and musical works for authors, and then we also looked at clause 8A, section 8A as well. So this is where these issues came in strongly around our industry works differently. Our income is not called royalty, it's called remuneration, and that's where the issues were. So we highlighted those and we came up with proposals that we were going to look at rewording or identifying ways to look at how to draft them to incorporate the concerns that we raised. And then in terms of retrospectivity, the issue of retrospect came out very strongly from most of the submissions. And what the submissions were saying was that it is not implementable, it is not practical, and there were those that were saying it's unconstitutional, it may open us up to different legal challenges. So on retrospect, it was generally very negative input, but in terms of saying it will not necessarily work as were proposed. And with that, we did highlight that, and then the issues around the penalties also, skipping to the next part, the issues around the penalties were also highlighted to say our penalties that we proposed, both for the log sheet requirement and for the infringement, were very harsh in the bill. So from the issues that came up, we then made proposals to possible clauses that we can propose to the committee. So that's where these two documents are coming from. So they were flowing from the main document, the presentations by the advocate and ourselves, where we highlighted the key issues from the public. And we tried to be as broad as possible, Chair, to ensure that we work around the implementation issues so that we don't leave anything out. And I must highlight, Chair, the way issues that were not addressed last week, because the committee was of the view that because the chairperson of the subcommittee was not there, those issues were not discussed at length. And so some of them, I can highlight them maybe after finishing from this presentation. So I'm going to move to the document that talks to the practical challenges and concerns in terms of retrospective application of Section 6A, 7A, and 8A. And I'm hoping that when I get to the next document, the Advocate
Chair, it's this particular one here.
I'm hoping that by the time I get to, I finish this part, the advocate will be here to also talk to the clauses, because we had a chance to sit down as a team to work around the revision. In terms of retrospectivity, what we did was to say, even though we had the public comments that say that it's not implementable, there are constitutionality issues, but let's look at what are the practical actual challenges from the stakeholders and see how we can then come up with solutions to try to address these issues, whether it is done in the bill or outside the bill. Although as the DTI, we discussed this and we have a view about it in terms of the practicality of the implementation. So in terms of the concerns, the first one says that there may not be any budget left for new negotiations. And this came from the Publishers Association of South Africa. And sorry about the abbreviations, and then the FIAP. And so here they were highlighting that there might be constraints as far as the financial resources are concerned when one has to now go back to the negotiations of the retrospective royalties. And we are saying that as a proposed solution, the percentage is only in respect of future royalty earnings. So strictly speaking, the section requires payment of a portion of money to be received. However, these future earnings may have been included in the budget as projected revenue. So it may be covering losses suffered in the past. So meaning that there might be issues of losses when one needs to then go back to look at the retrospective effect of the budget and the new negotiations. The other challenge raised by Recreate and USAF was that the negotiated price at the time of assignment of ownership of copyright would not have taken into account perpetual future royalties. So meaning that when the price was negotiated, there was no intention around the perpetual royalties. Future royalties. So there was no clear expectation that there will be this going back in terms of the royalties. So as part of the proposed solution or comments, we are saying that this concern will be raised with the author, and if the author does not acknowledge that he or she did receive a larger sum at the outset than would have been the case if this section was operational before, the matter could be referred to the tribunal, who would then take that into account. So here we are saying that in this particular instance, the matter could be referred to the copyright tribunal. Another concern is that persons are expected to trade each other down and renegotiate terms that were agreed to possibly years ago under very different circumstances. And this was raised by this Gahiso, Prof Gajiga, SAIIPL, FASOL, and the USAF. And these are the concerns that you are now going to have to trace back people and renegotiate the terms on areas that we agreed upon before. And the comments we are making is that this is a concern, as there is no cut-off date in respect of how far back the retrospectivity goes. And tracing either the copyright owner or the author may be impossible. And if the author cannot be traced, the orphan works clause applies, meaning this can be part of orphan works where you cannot find the owner but or the author. But what if the copyright owner cannot be found? Who will know and who will trace the copyright owner? So here is just to highlight that there are all these questions that do not have answers. And although these are the areas that we identified, there might be more chairs that we have not even been able to identify. So these are just what the stakeholders were able to identify for us. And a proposal was made to allow a period in which authors could approach the minister or CIPC, and this might allow for some certainty. So if no author has registered a work in this regard, in, for example, 5 years, the copyright owner knows that the matter is closed. Another proposal would be to only have reciprocity go as far back as 1978 with the commencement of the Copyright Act so as to allow for certainty. These solutions will have to be advertised, so meaning that if we use these solutions in the legislation, we'll have to advertise for them. And another challenge is that the contracts that have been legally concluded in the past were only concluded on the basis of the facts before the parties at that given point in time. So meaning they were based on the information then at the time when those contracts were made. And numerous financial transactions could have been entered into already, relying on the outright assignment, and retrospectivity would create major challenges for the assignee. And these are the stakeholders there are the ones that raised that. And also, we are saying that potentially this could affect existing successful business arrangements and would wreak havoc on existing relationships, business models, forecasts, and cost structures. So the following stakeholders raised that to say it will complicate existing transactions and business arrangements. And another question was asked in terms of how would this affect non-profit organizations. Non-profit organizations could be excluded so that where a non-profit organization obtained copyright or a license, Section 6A, 7A, and 8A would not apply to that transaction. This solution will have to be advertised. So it's another solution that could be advertised. And instead of agreements with agencies, the assignee will now have to enter into multiple contracts. Often, works have sometimes works have multiple authors. And we are saying that where multiple agreements were entered into in the past, it would be even more complicated to find all the role players and the share of the royalty. You will have to take all role players into account. This could be resolved through the tribunal if the parties do not agree on the sharing of the share. And also, another challenge is that the open-ended character of this clause may well succeed in inundating the tribunal with many disputes wherein it has to adjudicate on the negotiations of royalties. So here they are saying that these opening up these clauses can also affect the fact that there will be lots of disputes that are coming up and the tribunal will be having many, many cases of dealing with issues around retrospectivity. And many contractual rights would since have been ceded or assigned to other parties, and many new ventures involving different parties would have been undertaken and initiated on the basis of existing contracts. This amendment would forcibly disturb and modify existing and legally valid contractual relationships. So this would affect those arrangements where rights have been assigned, and there are new arrangements that parties have and the existing contracts, and it will cause disturbance to those arrangements. And also, there were questions asked around how this will work. For example, if the royalty is not negotiated within 48 months, is the right to do so forfeited? Because this is what we are saying. We are saying that within 48 months, there must be, this arrangement should be taken into account. So where the author, for example, is deceased and the copyright has not expired yet, does the right to negotiate a royalty apply to the author's heirs, as in their children and so on? And the product may in some instances have been damaged or deteriorated and may have lost value over time. And the percentage is only in respect of future royalty earnings. So this is what we are saying. So strictly speaking, the section requires payment of a portion of money to be received if the product is no longer being used. There would not be royalties. And we could address this by excluding the application of section 6A, 7A, and 8A, where the work is no longer being used or has been destroyed. So there is that possibility that those works have been destroyed. Maybe they are no longer in existence. If it's the copyright work is no longer applicable. It has been destroyed. And we are also saying that the market for creative works could have been seriously disrupted or damaged. And we are saying the percentage is only in respect of future royalty earnings. So strictly speaking, the section requires payment of a portion of money to be received. So it's similar to what was said before. So it's more or less the same thing. And we are also asking, what if this may mean that people will have to incur debt to ensure that they are able to meet the royalty payments from the past? So what if it causes that challenge? So people now have to afford to sell their assets, like selling your house, to ensure that you meet the requirements of paying for the outstanding royalties. And what happens when the work is in the public domain, for instance, as the copyright term is over, or when the copyright protection still exists but the work has been donated? What happens if that work has been donated or is in the public or is being used under a Creative Commons license? What then happens? Because that needs to be clarified. And also, some of the challenges include that the unintended effects of business not being able to cope and therefore closing down. This one is not clear, but it's one of the issues that was raised. And will create problems for purchasers who entered into sales at fixed or negotiated prices and now have to pay perpetual royalties. And also the practicality of parties' obligation to negotiate a royalty percentage is very concerned in terms of how they do work around that. And it will also be disruptive to existing commercial agreements. It will adversely affect the rights of parties and may open the floodgates of litigation. So, Chair, in a nutshell, these are some of the practical issues we thought we should look at as a technical team and see how these can be resolved or where we can come up with practical solutions, and so that we can measure how the retrospectivity clauses can work. And I think I will stop here, Chair, for now, and hear from you.
Right. Members, the
DDG, Dr. Masocha, has given us the opportunity to comment, especially those who were here last week, although noting, in view of the fact that you weren't here, and we're on the labour oversight visit, Honourable Tiako, you heard the DDG making it clear that there were certain areas which certainly required your input and were not dealt with last week. So we'll all be hearing those for the first time. But do you have anyone, and I mean anyone sitting here, anything you want to raise or comment on? Honourable Pacharya.
Thank you, through you, Chair, Deputy DDG. I have an issue with this document. It's a laundry list of issues, and I would have hoped that it would have been categorized better in terms of issues that deal with constitutional issues, issues of general law, issues of practicality, issues of impact and unintended consequences. And if it was done in a systematic fashion, with potential solutions to it in terms of law, practicality, etc., then we would have something to work with. As such, we have lots of vacant blocks here, and by and large, just a referral to the tribunal. I don't think that helps us particularly, so I would recommend that we revisit this. But that's just my suggestion.
Thank you, Honourable Pacharya. Honourable Elvin.
Thank you, Madam Chair, to the DGG. Some solutions are provided in some of the blocks that you've outlined, but then there are quite a few that's empty. And some of the solutions provided is a referral back to the tribunal. But I think the tribunal, when they view some of these problems, are just going to back up and run away. Because the complexity that you're talking about is something that you can only model on a computer. Going back and looking at the relationships in the past. I'm not sure what the solution is to this, but I think that we seriously need to consider the backward-looking effect of this clause and whether it shouldn't be kept to a certain number of years and not run back indefinitely. I see there's a proposal to run back to 1978 when the current Copyright Act was enacted. I think that will also create a huge amount of complexities and problems. And I think we must come up with a simpler, more elegant solution in this regard. If we are, we must actually try and ask ourselves, who are we trying to protect? Is there a layer or a group of certain people that we're trying to protect? We know that in the past there's been abuses, and we are trying to tackle those abuses. We are aware of that. Are we trying to compensate for those abuses, and who would those people be? And perhaps if we try to focus as much as we've done with the Credit Amendment Bill, we focused on a group of people. We defined them, who they are. Perhaps that is a way to go, which might simplify the approach. But I think to just leave it open, it's just going to be such a complex piece of legislation that even the tribunal won't be able to deal with. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Albert. Are there any other comments or input on the matter of tourism? No. Right. As I understood it, Dr. Masocha, you would start off and then Advocate van der Merwe would follow through after that. Is that correct? Still on the same page? Right. Advocate van der Merwe?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for allowing me just to take care of something. I would just like to maybe, I have missed the introduction to this document. So I apologize if I'm repeating something. But if I might just remind members that the reason for this document is that both the department and myself expressed concern about whether the retrospective application of Section 6A, 7A and 8A will pass constitutional muster, because there are so many practical implications that we are in a situation where you end up with law that cannot be implemented, which then affects the rule of law and would make those sections unconstitutional. So the proposal was that we list the concerns that we had and look at possible proposals. So the areas that are blank are areas where we don't know what to propose. It is difficult. So in other words, what we try to do with this document is to try and find a way to retain those clauses. But I think this document shows that we have a problem. There are things that we do not know how to solve it, which for me means that we still have a rule of law problem in the retrospectivity or the retrospective application of Section 6A, 7A, 8A. There are a number of things that will make it better if we limit it to a certain period of time. 78 is simply because that is when the Principal Act was enacted. So that is the rationale there. Things like, I think there was somewhere that proposed that you turn it around, that it's the author that actually approaches the copyright owner. So there are ways that we could make it better, but I think what we're trying to show with this document is that there are still a number of practical implications that we cannot find solutions for. We struggle, we do not know how to come up with those solutions, and unless we find solutions to address those practical implications, we have a problem in respect of those sections complying with rule of law, which would then render them unconstitutional. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Advocate van der Merwe. Are there any comments on what Advocate van der Merwe has said? Anything? Right. Members, now, this was still a continuation from what occurred last week. Do we accept that? Right. But now, there were certain things which we did not tackle, which you heard Dr. Masorcha say. We didn't deal with certain things. We wanted to wait, you know, till we had a fuller team here, and yourself, Honorable Tiago. So, Dr. Masorcha, are you ready to help us and move forward? And then we also need to look at yourself, Advocate Fuller. Is there anything you want to come in at this point on? No.
Thank you, Chair. I must indicate that there is another presentation that Advocate will assist with in terms of the specific drafting the clauses. But before then, I will just highlight some few areas from the last presentation. Ms. Tego is on page 27 of the document that you have. Other members are not looking at that document. Giving her special treatment is Women's Month as well. 27 of the slide, the previous slide, actually, from last week. Oh, you have copies? Okay. It's on page 27, where it says other comments.
It was, of course, not only Honourable Tietro that wasn't here. We, you know, Honourable Bouyani was ill, you know, and Honourable Matlobo was attending to, you know, the stratosphere, as it were, politically. Are we all on the same page? Well, look, it does have a number, it's just that reduced is covering the word. Isn't it other comments? Aren't you dealing with other comments, Dr. Masorcha? So, from the back,
yeah.
Will you take 2 pages?
I'll take 2 pages. Other issues, Chair? Other issues?
What is it? Is this the wrong location? Look, if you pick this up, then you take the last 2 pages, 1, 2, and then there we are. And the last line there is suggestions to ensure. Are we all right? Fine.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, on page 27, Chair, there are a few areas that we picked them from the different submissions. Some of them were repetitive because several stakeholders raised them, and we thought that we can just highlight them. It's not our position in the department, but what came from the public. and some of them we highlight them because they will affect some of the proposed amendments going forward. The exceptions for computer programs were removed from the bill before it was published again, before there was the re-advertisement when we had discussions in June. And there was a call for the reintroduction of the exception as it appeared in the bill. And we as a department, we are saying that if the committee recommends or approves that, we say that it's something that can be brought back inside the bill. And this one, I know that we are saying that we are not talking to levies in the bill, but there have been several submissions that talk to the private copy levy to say why is it that we are not introducing that in the bill, because it's an important issue, especially for the authors, that their work will be exposed and probably even abused, and they won't be making anything out of that. So there is that. I acknowledge that we have in the committee it was debated extensively that we are not going to look at the living matter, but just to ensure that the public knows that we noted their submissions around this issue. The one that is very, very key that may require that the committee re-look at, I think, is around the one collecting society per set of rights. In the previous deliberations in June, we reached the conclusion that the one collecting society, we want to open up collecting societies to have more collecting societies rather than having one collecting society per right. But there are some implementation issues and challenges around the chair, and it is a challenge, and there is a request that this be reviewed and be returned in the bill as it was, because it is foreseen that it will not work practically, because we are talking about the same artists, the same stakeholders that these collecting societies are serving, and then we might have run the risk of having many court cases that are taking place where they are fighting for members and they take each other to court. And Advocate Fola will talk to this more better because of his own experiences from CIPC. But even CIPC wrote to the committee, I must acknowledge their letter, they wrote to the chair to request that this matter be reinserted back to the bill. So I thought that it should be something that needs to be highlighted further. And there was a concern raised that the committee has not adequately deliberated on the sections of the technological protection measures. And there was a concern around that, and some stakeholders have made proposals around the definition of the TPMs and others related to those clauses that talk to the technological protection measures. And there was another concern by some collecting societies that they would like to, instead of having 5 years to be accredited for 5 years as collecting societies, they would like to have perpetual licensing, meaning that they would like that certainty of just being licensed perpetually without the restriction of the time frame. So I think, Chair, most of these are the main issues that I wanted to highlight today to the committee, the few that I've mentioned. Thank you.
You didn't want to carry on, because I see that's page 27. I thought you wanted to deal with all of the other comments.
The one on the 28 is the one where I'm talking about the perpetual licensing, where they want to be licensed instead of just 5 years. And on 29, there were concerns around, there was a concern that the Companies Commission, I mean, and CIPC is not included in the bill, but this was clarified that it is not in this bill, but it's in the IPLA, in the Intellectual Property Amendment Law. It's not here, but it's provided for in the other legislation. advocates can maybe clarify that further on that, the technicality around it. And then the other issues around the piracy, it was just to highlight some of the concerns raised around the broadcast piracy, and yeah, some of them are more technical issues around the making available rights and the communication to the public. So they are addressed in the legislation. So I just wanted to highlight them. But the main ones that I've mentioned earlier are the ones that I would request that the committee maybe can engage on. Thank you.
The only challenge we have is that while there is an act, IPLA, it's not implemented yet. And that does for me raise a concern. If SIPSI is taken care of there, it's all very well, but hasn't been opened up. You know, it hasn't been implemented. So I think we need some sort of legal comment here, an opinion. What do we do about that sort of thing? Yes, Dr. Masocha?
We spoke with the advocate about the possibility of the implementation of a section of the legislation that deals with definitions, but I cannot say much about it because I'm still consulting in the department with my principals just to hear their view, because it has implications for the Department of Science and Technology. So I will need to look at those other dynamics.
Advocate Van der Merwe, did you want to come in on some of those comments?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The other way to deal with a situation where an act is enacted but not operational yet, and where the wording used in that act then affects a subsequent bill, is to have a transitional provision, which we actually have in our bill. But we only focused on the indigenous cultural expressions and the indigenous community. So probably all that we have to do is to simply add a subsection to this. Ideally, it would be perfect if at least the definitions clause of IPLAW's Amendment Act can be made operational. But that is not within Parliament's hands. I have made some inquiries from my peers on how we can make something operational almost by amending the Amendment Act. I suppose it seems there's not really a precedent for that, and it becomes a messy drafting exercise. I would almost suggest that the best way to deal with it is for us to just identify maybe which of those definitions are relevant to our amendment bill, and we then provide for them in transitional provisions.
Thank you very much. Now, members, we have the option of, at this point, we've dealt with outstanding matters arising from the previous set of, not public hearings, but briefings that we got on what had been advertised and comments, etc., and the analysis thereof. But prior to this, there was a request, but I wanted us at least to have got on with something, for us to get some broad overview at this point in time, where are we, to ensure that all members of the committee, because now we have the whole team in front of us, or almost the whole team, are on the same page in terms of where we are with unpacking this. So what I'm going to do is, we're not going to go page by page, as it were, but if we could, if you look at the 14th of August, for example, and you look at that, and you look at the issues that arose there when we actually, you gave the background there, and then you were saying, right now, this is where we are. There were certain things that were advertised, you know, for public comment, and what the result of that was. So what I want is a broad overview between yourself, Dr. Masocha, and the team, Advocate Van der Merwe, and also for SIPSI to come in, as it were. So here, you just take it that you're briefing your principals who've never sat in on this process. And you're briefing them with a view to them getting a broad assimilation of where we are so we can march forward together. With that assist members? Right. There's no harm in doing it because it's nothing like a little refresher course for those who served. Right. So would you like to start, Dr. Masoccio, or as you've done a lot of talking, would you like Advocate Van der Merwe to start? How would you like to address this?
Chair, I think Advocate can start for now.
It's not like we're introducing anything new now. It's just a broad summary overview. Where are we so that everyone is on the same page? All right?
Thank you, Chairperson. When this committee started looking at the Copyright Amendment Bill, we, from the outset, had a lot of technical concerns about the bill from the public. So from that, we sat, myself, the department, drafters from the department, drafters from State Law Advisor, some experts from outside, and we tried to correct those technical concerns. From there, we then had to some discussions that take place in the committee itself. The subcommittee sat on a number of issues. There was some concern on whether the application of certain principles would apply across the board and whether that should change. And then there were a number of changes that we've made actually to the bill itself, and we had in fact, I actually just want to open it up so that we can see those advertisers. So in around June, we actually reached a point where there were some clauses that had to be advertised because of all these amendments. So I've got something there up on the screen, it's an old document, but it's just to capture. So we looked at the definition of visual artistic work. We looked at the minimum content of the agreement related to royalty percentages. We looked at the retrospectivity of certain clauses, a minimum content in relation to the royalty percentages was on three different works. We looked at log sheets, failure to record as being a penalty, nature of copyright programming signals, panorama rights, commission works, we had a new process there, and then transitional provisions provide for existing collecting societies, reciprocity in respect of collecting societies, what to do if collecting societies cannot find the owner or the performer. We've increased penalties for infringement and we make provision for where the convicted person is not a natural person. And changes to the copyright tribunal, quite significant, changing the one tribunal that was introduced in the bill for another tribunal altogether, and then transitional provisions relating to the IP Laws Amendment Bill. So these were the issues that came up in the bill that were new and we had to advertise. So from that advertising to the public, some submissions were obtained. Those were discussed. The presentation from the DGI that we just looked at also looked at those concerns. Then from there, from those submissions, there were a number of clauses that we've identified that may need some adjustment. And from that we have prepared a document. I think your document is printed a little bit bigger, and it won't have the comments on it, but we'll speak to the comments, proposed wording of copyright. So, yes. Oh, the comments are in fact there. So, what we've done, with the department, myself, Office of State Law Advisor, we sat and we worked through some of the submissions, or all of the submissions, but identified some of the clauses that could be amended to accommodate comments made. Then in that document, and I think we will take you through this document more in detail, we tried to indicate what proposal we were looking at in order to arrive at the proposed amendment. So it is clear that the public's inputs were taken into consideration. From these 17 pages, there's only three clauses where we are not satisfied with the wording yet.
So we do not feel comfortable to present those to the committee yet. The rest, we feel comfortable to present to the committee. So in short, from my side, I think that we are almost there. Say for these three clauses that we need to still look at the wording, there's a policy decision on what we've just discussed, the retrospective application of certain sections. Then there is something else that the Chair asked a question on, and when we looked at it, we realized it was a very, very valid question, dealing with whether if an entity acts as a collecting society, but in fact they're not accredited, whether that is an offence or not. And we actually found that because the Act never really dealt with offences in the past, there isn't a general provision for this. So something else that the Chair requested we do is to look at what clauses will have to be advertised if we include them, and on what do we need to ask permission. So we've also done that, and I just want to see if I can quickly find that there. So that has also been handed out to members, I believe, where we say matters that must be advertised, matters for permission. So the things that we've identified that will have to be advertised if we make those changes would be if we find solutions to address the practical concerns on the retrospective application of Section 6A, 7A and 8A, we will have to advertise those because it will be new. It will be new solutions that are being proposed. The other thing that will have to be advertised is the issue of an offence in respect of a collecting society. So those will have to be advertised. The list of permission is a very long list. We've discussed with the committee section on the interpretation of the rules, and it seems that even where you amend a subsection that's new, you need to ask permission. So it becomes a very long list. I'm not going to go through it, but members can see on the column that says matters for permission, and I've indicated they're taking the approach that any subsection, paragraph, sub-paragraph, subsection, not in the bill, must be the subject of permission. So it's quite a long list of permissions. But of course, the beauty of that is it doesn't matter how many permissions there are, it will go in one document, so we'll get the permission at once. So that is currently where we are. I've said a lot, so if you will allow me just to quickly take it together. We've gone through a second round of submissions. There's one or two things outstanding that might be new in the bill, that might need further advertising. It's not as big as the first, the second round of advertising. It will be very, very focused on four clauses specifically. And we might even decide, because of the one constitutional issue, not to do some of those clauses. There must be permission that we need. Most of the changes we can present to the committee tonight, in fact. There's three clauses that we request in the committee's indulgence to allow us to just look at them. And then the issue of the policy decision on retrospectivity. Thank you, Chair.
That's a sort of broad brushstroke. I'm very fortunate. I've got the larger copy of this. You know, you've got this here, which you can barely read. I'm very fortunate. I've got this larger one, and therefore, there may be other members who also value a larger print, and we can organise that for them by tomorrow. All right, or perhaps even later today. Honourable Tiako.
Thanks, Chair. Advocate, can you just remember the clause 9, where we say we are retrospecting? Which year are we? Do you state the year 1994 or 1996? Or how do you want to retrospect this amendment? Because we need to have a somewhere where we need to start. And the how part, is it constitutional or unconstitutional? I need to check this.
Thank you, Chair. The concern in respect of retrospectivity relates to three clauses. There's another clause that's also retrospective, but it's not. It is a The other clause that is also is retrospective is the issue of resale royalty rights. But that one is not problematic because there is no duty placed on the owner of the work that is subject to copyright to go and find the author. That will almost happen organically. So it relates to future sales that will be done. The ones where we have practical problems. So the constitutionality, and I want to just stress this, the constitutionality does not lie in the fact that there is deprivation. There is deprivation, but it is not arbitrary. It is in terms of the law of general application. There is a process provided for, and there is a rationale for it. The constitutionality lies therein that what we have to make the retrospectivity applicable, we are struggling with some practical implementation problems. And that means that our law is not clear, which brings us in conflict with the rule of law, which requires that your law must be clear. So what are those clauses? Those clauses deal with the portion of a royalty that must be paid to an author. So in other words, if an author in any way allows another person to use his or her work, and that other person makes money from that work, we would like that to be shared with the author. We don't want that person to simply pay a once-off amount and go off and get rich on the work, but the author gets nothing more. So that is what these sections are trying to address. Now, these sections are going to be operational going forward. So if from the date of operation of the Amendment Act, an author allows, let's say a buyer, because we also struggle with the word here for a number of reasons, an author allows the buyer to use and exploit his or her work. From the Act operational date, there has to be an agreement, and the author will now always get some share in whatever profit is made, whatever monies are made, the income that is made. So the retrospectivity is that unless our amendment bill specifically says that this amendment bill applies to transactions entered into the past, it will not be interpreted to apply. So what you will have is an author who has sold his or her photograph or book 10, 20, 30 years ago, that I think the example why we felt that it might be necessary was some of the photographs, Hector Peterson, those kind of photographs, people are making money out of them, but it's not the person who took the photograph who is making the money out of them. It is this, you know? So that is why we thought, no, but we need to say that this also applies to that. And yes, it won't apply to the money made in the past. That was accepted. It will only be applied to money made in the future. But it must apply to a work that was either assigned or someone allowed to use the work in the past, where that right came up in the past. But now, that is now where the problem lies, because we don't know how far back we go. So do we go back to, I don't know, 1500, 1400 for that matter? Do we limit it? That's why we made the proposal of maybe the beginning of this Copyright Act, which is 78. At least you have some rationale of a date. But what would you do if the author is deceased? How would the person find it? Okay, we can perhaps look at the orphan works clause, and that is maybe where that will work, or the person's heirs might be able to benefit from that. But what if the work, some of the concerns is, what if the work is not used for commercial purposes? So I have bought a painting, and it is just in my house. I'm not doing anything with it. Now there's this obligation on me to find the person who made that work and enter into agreement with that person and say, look, I'm not going to sell this painting or exhibit it or make any money. I'm not going to make prints. I just have it in my house. I love it. It's beautiful. It hangs there. So I'm not. But now there is an obligation for me to find the person who painted the picture and make this arrangement with them. What if the person who bought those rights or obtained those rights in some way has gone insolvent? So that is why that document that we prepared of all the practical problems, those are the kind of things that we're trying to get our head around and we are struggling. And because we are struggling, it means that our law might not pass the rule of law requirement. So when you've asked how far back, in fact, currently we don't have a how far back. But it would, if we want to fix that and we find solutions for everything that practically is a concern, one of the things would be to have a limit. And the limit could be 1994 at the birth of democracy. It could, you know, as long as we can find maybe some rationale for the date that we give, but that would be something that is there. But again, if I may stress, if we find solutions for all the problems, because if we don't, we still have a rule of law concern.
Does that help you, Honourable Tiaka?
Thanks, Chair. I think I will need time to digest what the advocate has said. She also says we have that struggling there. I'm also struggling. That's why I asked the question. But however, I need to meet with my own comrades so that we consult in the study group so that I have a position to come and present here. So give me time to meet the leadership, then I'll come and put my opinion to the committee.
No, well, we have had the benefit of hearing this once before in detail, but it's not something that is we fully assimilated ourselves. Honourable Buyani?
Chair, then the last time I was dealing with this document, it was June when we were going for advertisement, and now we're going for advert as well. Yeah, and I'm not so sure in terms of the responses from the public, but I can go through this document, maybe as my colleague has indicated, that we'll need to at least dance on this matter. But Chair, the submission from the service from the department, the one collecting society per right, I don't know whether we did advertise this one or we've taken a decision on this one. It's page 27. Because we were supposed to deal with issues that we advertise and coming back so that we integrate them into the bill. But if we deal with issues that were not advertised as well, I think I'll be a bit confused. And also, Chairman, in terms of attendance, whether the Department of Art and Culture is with us or there's an apology. Because this tendency is of this department not coming here, and on the last day they come here as the National Treasurer is doing today, they want to change everything. I think we cannot allow that. Let them be part of us from the inside until we deal with the document. Yes, I think also in terms of this other document, the proposal was made and to have the field of such order approach the Minister of CIPC regarding the 5 years example. So the picture on practical challenges. Yeah. So I need clarity on this one because I'm not so sure as to whether I wanted it in. Yes, the first one.
Right. I just want to just clarify something there, Honourable Biani. It was made very clear to us last week that we advertised certain issues and it was very clear that the commentary was being sought on what was being advertised. However, in almost every instance, people went beyond that scope. And you can see from the huge volume, the actual submissions, not the summary. That's why we had to extend it by a week to get the analysis done, as it were. Now, this often happens where people, you give them a second opportunity and they go way beyond the scope of what is requested. So, in some instances, it was pertinent, but there are certain things that have arisen beyond that process as a result of our deliberations, which now may require further advertisement. And that is often the case with this, that it's by working through something else is identified. So I just thought we should clarify that. With respect to arts and culture, they were here last week. And I'm not sure why they aren't here today, but they've been with us all along. But we will ask Mr. Medema, the Portfolio Committee Secretary, just to find out from them if they've got the program, because they have been with us all the time. With respect to Treasury, they were with us all the time. Their problem, they changed the person, an internal matter. So suddenly, you were asked to speak in the House on health. You hadn't been there before. You clearly wouldn't be on track, and that really, it doesn't mean that there are challenges that the department needs to address. But the problem began when a brand new deployment came into the committee, which is why they went back. I hope you noticed today, those of us who were here last week, that we requested a proper handover, as it were, and the Honourable Gibson then joined them. And as you noticed, it then went much smoother with both teams there. But those are internal matters which we did point out were not constructive when we were undertaking deliberations. But thank you, Weaver, for pointing it out to us again. Honourable McNorville?
No, thanks, Chair. We must appreciate that those of us who we're not here. We've been properly been brought on board. Safe to say that looking at the volume of work done and the processes undertaken, probably, Chair, it's just to ask some of us so that at least we don't feel like, you know what, we're eating another snack again. My weekly experience in my other work I did was when the legislation gets referred back in terms of the provision to say a particular matter, only this matter must be looked at. Then you find that people, they go beyond what the matter that has been raised. And it's a process point of view. I'm not a lawyer, and it's okay, I can't study law only. They might actually have gone beyond what was said, but you might find that the matter becomes so significant or material that you feel like not ignoring. But then there is a fairness of the process. Those South Africans who are also directly or indirectly affected, they chose to strictly stick to what is on the table. And those others who could see that the only matter that has been put out for my comment is only this one, I can't then start to do this one. How do you normally handle the delicate part of it? It's more about, because there are those that might say, no, but if you do consider the other views, we do have views to, remember this thing I'm told, it's in law. And the more it takes, the more we consult, the more we don't make decisions. There is no perfect thing. You know what? One of the things that is coming up with this amendment we're trying to do. the practitioners, they are saying, you guys who are making this legislation, you don't have adequate understanding of our work. And this one looked like a general amendment kind of a legislation, generalization. Why you are voting that is a one-size-fits-all, but the reality is not. But it does not mean that you can't conclude the work. But how do you take into account the peculiarity so that the implementation becomes seamless? And I've raised this point before. I've raised it, and this is why I could say my secret is not happy because I was looking at my phone most of the time. I'm saying, what's the best mechanism to move forward, but without being ignorant? I can tell you without being annoyed, just as a person who's a leader in the organization. Immediately you say, let's be disciplined. One issue, and other people are not disciplined. They actually abuse the process. Then, from there, you put yourself in a legal conundrum. I'm more on the process issue because I'm a little bit more worried. You know, the last time we left, we made a lot of movement. And these issues that we've gone through them again, they're coming up again, and there's a feeling that there's a temptation to open them up. And if you open them up, remember your process must become a leader. And it's highly contested. I think it's a matter that I think we need to be able to think very hard. Let's think very hard. And the unfortunate, I don't want to bring it back to say, I presume that these comrades are giving this thing too big. Normally you do an analysis. Who are these people who have actually decided to rehash the issue that we have actually canvassed before? Are they not taking a second chance or second bite or whatever it is? But I don't want to make a presumptions now. I will have to go through this thing overnight. But in the fairness of the process, immediately we have opened other issues. And if you feel they are so material enough, probably we are correct. They must go out again so that the process becomes more acceptable in terms of norms of how we work. It's going to go back again. And then we will probably have to actually probably as parties consult our focuses to say, really do we think it's okay that the team have done your technical work, but we need to be advised now. We need to take advice. The last matter, on the basis that the DDG is saying that certain people say we don't have a full appreciation of the work. When is at what stage are we going to be able to get an advice to say what are the inadequacies or the limitations or the exclusion? Remember, this thing is meant to help. Who are these ones that we think in the current form we think really there is no benefit that will arise in the spirit of this amendment? Because we still have to start to do that, because if it is going only to save only few people or few sectors, because there are different sectors that are referred here, we'll have to apply our mind. Do you want to move? If you move on a small scale, what does it mean? I think from the process point of view, there's going to be some need of a guidance, apart from the issues that are content issues. The content issues, I think, was made significant progress. Thank
you. Yes, it does seem as if we've gone backwards in many ways, but what would be helpful, we got that broad overview, we do need, oh, did you have your hand up? Sorry, Honourable Kacharya.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we're making, there are a number of issues here. On technological issues that need updating, on practical updates and the like, on the issue of fair use and fair dealing, we will resolve to go to a hybrid model. There's progress there from where we were. Those are the relatively uncontroversial areas. They were in the past, but they've been resolved, and we've had, and the value of the submissions that have come through, as we've seen, have been useful in that regard, and they've been incorporated. That's fine. Where, to use the words of the advocate, we are struggling is on the remunerative aspect. And that is a problem of contention, and the advocate said she doesn't know how to deal with it in many areas, because and I would suggest that we need to look at that carefully as to why we are struggling there. We are struggling there because we seek to legislate shares and rights in the future, in the present, in the past, on this basis, on that basis, and God knows what other basis. Now, when you start doing that, as I said in the past, you seek to supersede the primacy of contract. Contract is. It may not have been perfect at the time, but it is and it stands in law. Now, yes, we can go forward, and it's our duty and our obligation to ensure that future contracts are more robust and education and the like happens. But if we keep going the rounds on this, we will find, we can ask for more submissions or open it up again, and what we will have is relatively easy resolution of the areas where we've made progress on, and we'll refer, and this will be an area of constant difficulty. And if we don't resolve that, we may not pass muster in law.
No, thank you, Honourable Pachauri, and I think you also highlight, indeed, there has been progress on certain issues. And we do need to get off the roundabout now. Honourable Khadebe?
Chairperson, I think that we must never lose the strategic objective of this bill, is that we are trying to cover the people who were exploited in the past. So the issue is, the major issue you are faced with is, where do we start? Where do we start? Where is that rationality that we are going to start from this year in covering that? The issue that the rights will be moving forward is a fact. It's a fact that it is here. That's why the advocates and the developers are about that. All right, we might, let's say, if we start in 1910, when the Union of South Africa was established as an entity, as a country, whatever, it will be fine. Where we started there, we look at a lot from 1910 until now, whatever. But the issue is, the contract themselves, they are not holding. I think there's a provision here which says that they can renegotiate those contracts. Renegotiate it. I can't tell them not have people to pay for something which they were not aware that they are supposed to pay. So there's some sort of rationality out of that. But I think that this process which we have started, we must do it as of yesterday. Because those their performance, the people, the copyright, the people who are the original lender, originators of this work, must be attended to. So the issue here, Chair, is that we cannot lose hope here. We're just taking it easy because we're allowing our colleagues to go on board. But I think that we are ready, we can run. That's the bottom line.
Yes, I wanted to deal with both some exigencies that have arisen, but also where we are, the substantive issue. I suppose I must have told people I'd be free now, they haven't stopped ringing. Let me just put this over here. Sorry about that. But let me first deal with the substantive issue that we're facing. You know, I look back on the left here and I see some members of DTI team who were with us during earlier challenges on copyrights and intellectual property, like yourself, Ms. Pagliacci, you know. And you're quite well aware that these issues have come up before, the principles of them. How far do we go back for X and so on? And can we provide a general principle here, etc.? That's one. But also, The whole issue around contract itself has come up repeatedly. I see SIPC, Advocate Follow, who's been with us along the line, as it were. I see Advocate Stradham, who's walked this road with us. So I say this, Dr. Masorcha, not because you aren't involved in that, but purely because they had that earlier experience and they're well aware of some of the serious challenges that arise when, as I don't want to repeat what the Honourable has mentioned here, people being given another opportunity in an advertisement, and they do abuse the process. Many abuse the process. On the other hand, there are many others who don't abuse the process. They genuinely believe they can add something substantive to things. So it's a very, very challenging process. Do you simply say, no, get my scalpel, and cut that lot out? That is not constructive either. But the challenge is, where do you draw the line? Or, not so much where do you draw the line, because that's such a linear way of thinking, but rather, oh dear, we're not losing you, organically, yes, that is helpful here. We are having problems in reciprocity, we are having problems in royalty, and by the way, this is great what we've just seen here. So I don't think it can be a linear approach to what we consider and what we don't consider. I think we need to get beyond that, and a more organic approach has to be pursued here. On the other hand, you're quite right, Honourable Kacharya, when you say, there's contract law, and don't we know this is Roman Dutch law, but of course the time has got to also come when it becomes South African law, having taken account of the principles. But we have got to move forward in some manner. You mentioned fair dealing and all of that. We've dealt with that. We've all agreed. We have a convergence on what were very serious, challenging matters. Our problem here, to me, is threefold. One, what do we pick up that was outside the scope of what we asked for? That is an important question for us to pursue and agree on. The second thing becomes, what are the substantive issues that we're not getting anywhere with? The one does seem to be retrospectivity, as it were. How far do you go back? Now, the Land Act is facing this kind of challenge as well. And we've all said, well, challenges, of course, data, how far back can you reasonably go where there is data, records of issues as such? That's very important as well. So we do want to be rational about this, how far you can go back. Are we going to say for collecting societies, I'm simply giving examples now, not trying to tell you it will be this. But for example, for collecting societies, do we take it back to 2005? Where there was legislation. So from then you knew, so that's when we're going back to. On the other hand, when it comes to broader copyright matters and so on, where there was earlier legislation, but people ignored it, on the one hand, who should have been paying, and on the other hand, and this is the most difficult, where people, authors, creators, weren't aware that they have these rights. Now that is the most difficult. The most difficult is not to find the scavenger along the lines. We can easily find that one. You should have paid, and we know when you didn't pay. But what do you do with the majority, perhaps, of our artists and so on, who didn't know they had these rights, or that they had to register them? And many did not. Do we have an obligation to them? That's the thing. And the majority party is saying, yes, we do. And I also believe that other parties here, to a certain degree, do want to take those who have not benefited into account. But I would hope, Honourable Kecharia and Honourable Elvis, that we're all trying to say, how far can we realistically go where we'll be able to draw this line? And I would like, I'm told, and this is the exigency, I wasn't aware we'd even ordered dinner, but I suppose it's because we're going on until 8, that, they provided some form of nourishment, and Mr. Herman felt that we may not be able to stay the course without something. So what I do believe it gives us is the opportunity to, what is the word, consult each other and so on and so forth, outside of the committee structure. So I'm going to appeal to all parties to have the opportunity to use, I would hope people weren't thinking that there's going to be an hour for dinner, half an hour. It'll give people an opportunity to discuss things more informally, as it were, and then to come back on the matter. But the other substantive issue does link, I said one was on the retrospectivity, the other is royalty and resale, etc. We have got to crack that one. We have to. So how are we going to do it? I don't know. And I'm hoping that old hands in the game, like yourself, Ms. Padiachi, will, you know we crack this with intellectual as well, would be able to share your expertise with us. Please, I'm really now looking at you, and you've been very quiet as a church mouse there, which is great in some respects, because we were having a lot to say here. The third issue, so we spoke about retrospectivity, royalty, the resale of royalty rights, but the third issue has to be, and we told people categorically, we are going to sort out collecting agencies. We said that. We didn't qualify it, and we have got to, but I believe we're closer to an agreement there than we are on the other two issues. Then there are issues for the technical team. I don't want to crack my skull over a signee and that sort of thing. You are the technical people. Can you please crack your skull so that we understand what you say? Because we're not experts in this. And there are a couple of other of these strange words that we come across, you know, an assignee, a signer, or whatever, and then you're telling us authors are writers, and they're not writers, they're artists. You know, let's try and agree on terminology, because we're not going to get fast if we don't. So if I've made your life more difficult, I apologize, but one thing we are not going to do is to go backwards. I have never used reverse, not even in my Morris, unless I'm parked somewhere. We're going forward. I hope that is very, very clear. But in a measured manner, a measured manner, a sober manner. Thank you. Members, the committee is adjourned. My watch says 20 to 7. What does yours say? And I want us to be back at 7:10. I want to start sharp at 7:15. Sharp. V8 for dinner. Look, I... No. Well, no, look, there are some here who have been held here.